Imagine this note in the classified ads or Kijiji online. Inconveniencing Savior seeks unproductive, time-wasting worshipers. Inconveniencing Savior seeks unproductive, time-wasting worshipers. How does that make you feel? Would you respond, pick me, pick me? That's the life I want to lead. If you were with us last week, we were finding our way through the Good Samaritan story, and we were encouraging each other to receive love, but also do love. And we tried to prepare ourselves for a week where we might be inconvenienced and interrupted by the other. Or maybe even allowing the other, perhaps our most notorious enemy or foe, to help us in a time of need. And maybe you've heard the phrase, Jesus disturbs the comfortable and comforts the disturbed. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Jesus disturbs the comfortable and comforts the disturbed. And so maybe you can reflect on your week with Jesus. Were you disturbed or inconvenienced by this living Savior that we talk of and worship? Or in your discomfort, are you receiving comfort from unlikely places? Either way, hopefully we can say, yay, thanks be to God, this living Jesus is on the move. And what's our response to this inconveniencing Savior, this interrupting God of ours? This week's Jesus story tells us more. Jesus continues his last weeks of ministry. He's had 3 years with his disciples and the crowds, 3 years of wonders and miracles and mysteries, and he makes one last stop at the place of a friend in the town called Bethany, a suburb of Jerusalem, probably a half day's walk from the holy city. He didn't call ahead, and Mary and Martha didn't expect him to bring a crowd of probably 22 people along with him. Surprise! They bring their sweaty, dusty, unshaven bodies into the crowded house of Martha. And this is a good place where maybe we could have our scratch and sniff Bibles to help us enter the story. A crowded house, stinky, sweaty, dusty disciples. And lo and behold, it's getting close to supper time. Jesus, would you and your disciples, do you need something to eat? Says Martha with pursed lips, trying to smile but dreading the answer. Yes, Martha, but first let's... And his voice trails off as Martha darts to the back area of the house. And she begins to clatter about and try to calculate how she's going to turn last night's soup into a meal for 20. Martha's younger sister, Mary, does not follow Martha into the back room. She's caught a glimpse of something in Jesus' eyes, perhaps something somber and sullen. And she gets this feeling in her gut that she needs to stay in the front room, rather than join Mary in the back room cooking area. And Jesus begins to talk. He shares these familiar themes that his ragtag crew of Jesus roadies has come accustomed to. When you're rejected, turn the other cheek. As you are following the kingdom of God, keep your hand to the plow. Look ahead. Don't look behind. And as you build the kingdom of God, this is more than building edifices. This is a matter of the heart. Keep your hand to the plow and cultivate good soil that will grow good things out of the heart. And as you go, know that you're sent in peace. You're sent in simplicity. Don't take lots of stuff with you. And when you enter places, proclaim peace to those places. Care for others, though it might interrupt your life, though it might inconvenience you, though it might make a cost to your pocketbook. Do it. Do it to the least of these. For as you do it to the least of these, you do it for me. And in a mysterious way, you do it unto me. And do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? One does not live by bread alone. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you Jesus! Lord! Jesus! Martha, red-faced, sweating from the hot pot in the back room, pushes her way back to the front. Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her, tell Mary to help me. Imagine that holy, awkward silence that falls upon the room. Even Peter holds his tongue and doesn't do one of his classic one-liners. Jesus looks at Martha, and Jesus loves Martha. And he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Sometimes when we're trying to understand the heart of Jesus' stories, it's good to read other translations. And so if you read the King James version of this part of the story, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Or the New Living Translation says, Martha, dear friend, you are so upset over all these details. There is only one thing really worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it won't be taken away from her. Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, says, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It is the main course, and it won't be taken away from her. The better part, that one thing, the main course. As we live in today's Jesus story, perhaps you find yourself leaning one way or another. Maybe you're more wired like Martha when you read that story. Or maybe you're more wired like the younger child, Mary. But as today's sermon's title suggests, I think we're a bit of both. We are Marthy. Or we are Maritha, however you want to put it. Jesus isn't telling Martha to stop serving and that she's a bad girl. He's not telling her to stop preparing the meal, to stop being hospitable. He knows what it takes. He knows it's inconvenient to her life day plans and her pocketbook of that day. Right? He's just told the story about the Good Samaritan. He knows that caring for the other has its costs. But the good news of today's story is that serving and loving the least, being hospitable to the lost, creating places of welcome for Jesus' sweaty, stinky, daft disciples, some who are possibly sitting near you today. Look to your right and look to your left. They might not be sweaty or stinky, but we are all daft at some time, are we not? Hard to live with, inconveniencing to each other, interrupting each other's with our problems and our prayer requests and our need for more. But the good news of today's story is that it's not a matter of us responding with the firm upper lip saying, yes, 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 I'll do that for you, yes, yes. Jesus invites us to this better way. And it's a way that marks our journey through the whole story of God. This way where, yes, we follow God's heart and we do things in the name of Jesus, but we don't do it alone. We're not supposed to do this in our own strength. We're not supposed to do this out of places of being the firstborn child who always does it. I'm the sixth child, so I have no clue what that means. But instead, we're supposed to do these things out of a place of worship, a place of love, a place where God and Jesus meet us and empower us, where when we worship and adore, when we know that we are the beloved, then we can then in turn love and be merciful, be hospitable, be welcoming. It's been that through the whole story of God. In the Garden of Eden, it was Yahweh's invitation to walk with him in the evening shade of the trees of the garden. For the prophets, it was calling Israel and calling us not to render our rituals of worship or render our possessions, but to render our hearts unto God. And for first century followers of Jesus, it's this invitation to sit and listen. Perhaps a psalm was going through Mary's heart and mind, even as she sat with Jesus that day. Psalm 27, the psalmist prays it this way: "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." If you've been at First Baptist over the past few years, you hear us talk about this journey of faith and salvation as a J-I-J-O, journey inward, journey outward. And we try to be intentional about this reality of following Jesus, and this life of doing love needs to be grounded, empowered, and sustained by this life of worship, this life of spiritual practice, of sitting at the feet of Jesus. And hopefully, as you worship with this community of faith week after week after week, it's a place where we're invited to draw together, but also to draw our focus upward, to worship the living God, to allow the presence of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, to fall upon us, so that the love of God might be poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us as we pour out our lives for the good of the world, for the good of our neighbor. And so as we close today's time in this Jesus story, I want us to take time to choose that better part. And even as you have gotten out of bed today on a Sunday in a beautiful day in July, you have chosen to come into a place set aside to worship the living God, where we together gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. And so I want us to do that for 2 more minutes in silence as a community today. And maybe you'll center your thoughts on the face of Jesus. As you live in today's story, maybe you have this face of Jesus that fills your heart, even in our 2 minutes of silence. Or maybe it's an image, a spiritual image, or maybe it's some beauty that you've seen in creation even this past week. Maybe it's a scripture. You'll notice on the insert, we've printed the scripture today. It's just 5 verses from Luke chapter 10. And so maybe one of those words from these 5 verses jumps out to you and captures your attention. And maybe you can use that to center and to worship, to seek the better part. Maybe it's a song or a hymn that we've already sung this morning, or a favorite hymn that has been percolating in your heart this week. Or maybe it's simply sitting and turning your palms upward on your lap and waiting to receive whatever God has for you, whatever the beauty of the presence of Christ has to pour into your lap today. We'll have 2 minutes of silence. We'll hear a bell that will draw us back, and then we'll join in this prayer together. So keep this in front of you, the prayer from Psalm 27. And we'll pray that together after our 2 minutes of silent worship and waiting. Let's pray together and continue to seek the better part that Jesus invites us to today. Please pray with me. One thing we ask from the Lord, this is what we seek, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him. We remain confident of this. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.